the precious Word of God. Standing for the reading of the Word of God. This will probably be a world record for me in short sermons. I hear those snickers. I'm not talking about bars either. One of these days I'm going to shock y'all. I'm going to preach about 10 minutes and sit down. I'm going to leave you standing there with your mouths gapped open. Kids got to telling on Brother Steve this morning. Said Poppy, said he preached for an hour and a half and never did open his Bible. I said, he's sounding more like Travis Clayton every day. Amen. Got right on his case right early. I'll tell you, these son-in-laws now, you can stay on them pretty heavy when they're a son-in-law, but when they're a preacher under you, you can really pour it on good. I mean, there's ways you can really make them, do the war dance, buddy. You can heap the fires under them. Hallelujah. If you want to now, you can do it. And I'm going to tell you, you think mother-in-laws can't. Woo! Basically, when they're preachers, mother-in-laws can do that. And that's right. I'm not talking about interfering with the family either. I'm just talking about making them do right. And just making them do right. Well, really, I tell you what I've got on my heart is just two or three little things. But I'm going to take a text and I'm going to do the two or three little things. And if I get liberty, I'm going on and preach the other thoughts. And if I don't, we're going to shut it out and go to the house. And all I've got is just six things here and six verses of Scripture. And that's all that I have. And I'll try to turn to them in this Bible, do my best to turn to them and read them, and try to bring you the thought that is the Lord, I believe, laid upon my heart tonight. I want to read, though, in Psalm 78, a passage of Scripture that I've read on several occasions. I've got an outline here from it. I've preached before. And an outline on the next page that I could preach in the same thing. I mean, I could put three of them together and preach a long time if I wanted to drag things out. But I don't like to drag things out if God ain't in it. We get running too slow. We'll hurt ourselves. But I want to take a thought from here, and if God will give me the liberty, I want to preach on it, but I want to preach these other things to you first and try to intertwine them into the thought for tonight. Psalm number 78 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Amen. We will not hide them from their children, Amen. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, Amen. And the strength and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Now may the Lord add His blessing to those verses. Let's bow our heads and pray in hope tonight that God will show up somewhat. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful tonight, Lord, for the morning hour and the great liberty that You gave me to preach on the cross, the grace of God, the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. But Lord, tonight we've come to another passage of Scripture. We've come to another text and another thought. And I pray, Lord, that You'll bless us as well tonight, that we might, Lord, instruct Thy people in the commandments of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd meet with us in a wonderful way. May your divine presence be manifest gloriously in this place tonight. I pray that your people will depart from here tonight saying it's been good to be in the Lord's house. I pray you'll grant us liberty tonight to preach. And may the power of Christ rest upon us. I pray for unction and power tonight to preach the Word of God. To say just a few things by way of encouragement to your people. For Lord, we're living in dark days and we're living in perilous times. And God's people need the help that God can give. And only the help that God can give will be sufficient and will satisfy for the hour that we're living in. So I pray for help tonight in every home, every family. And I pray, Lord, again, you'd grant liberty to the preacher tonight. Help me to say something. It'll be a blessing to the people of God and bring glory and honor to your wonderful name. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want us to look at verse 4 tonight, and I'll mention a thought also in verse number 5, where the psalmist said, "We will not hide them from their children," showing to the generation to come, here's three things that he wants to show to the generation that is to come. He wants to show them the praises of the Lord. I'll say tonight that our services and our conduct in the house of God is a very weighty thing for our children that are coming up behind us, are watching us very closely. And it does matter whether we praise the Lord or not. Somebody said, "Well, I'm not going to praise the Lord." Well, neither will your children, and they'll grow up to be just as disobedient as what we've been. Amen. For the Bible said that we are to show our children, the generation that is to come, the praises of the Lord. And then we ought to show them His strength. Oh, we ought to talk about the power, the strength of Almighty God. And then we ought to show them His wonderful works that He has done. And then in verse number 5, He says again in the last part of that verse, that they should make them known to their children. And I want to preach for a little while tonight, if God will help me, and try to use this as an introduction, then bring some other thoughts, and then possibly come back to this passage if the Lord would be pleased. But I want to preach for a little while tonight on the thought of parental examples. Parental examples. I believe that it's important for our children's sake, the example that you and I, as their parents, set before them. I believe that's the bottom line that Asaph is writing about in Psalm 78. And by the way, it is a psalm of instruction. And Asaph is there instructing the people of God on their conduct in everyday life as well as worship at the house of God. Amen. And instructing them on the kind of example that they ought to be for their children's sake. Now, may I say tonight, church, that we teach children. Children are taught by precept. That is, they're taught by the things that we literally teach them out of the Word of God. And by the way, as far as I'm concerned, good the Bible and good Christian literature is about the only source of educational material that our children ought to have. But we ought to teach our children about the Lord and about the Word of God. And I'd say that we ought to teach them diligently. We ought not to be slack in educating our children in the Word of God. And I'll tell you why. The Bible said in verse 7 that they might set their hope in God. That they might set their hope in God. And not forget the works of God, but keep God's commandments. I want to say, unless you and I teach our children the precepts of the Word of God, they will not, my friend, know them, much less be able to keep them, and much less be able to set their hope in Almighty God. Oh, I'll tell you, it is important that we teach our children diligently. I wonder really how much teaching they get in the home front. What as parents are you doing while you're at home? Do you sit down with the Word of God and read that Bible to your children? Do you kneel about an old-fashioned altar and pray with your children? Do you instruct them in the Word of God? And I want to say this, that you cannot instruct them in something that you yourself do not know. You cannot teach them about the Lord if you yourself are not acquainted with the Lord. If you're not familiar with the Bible and have an understanding of the Bible, you'll never teach your children about the Word of God. And I say that we ought to teach them diligently. It ought to be our top priority in our life. I want to say tonight that I'm afraid the priorities that we have is way out of order. I'm afraid that we put ourselves in top priority, and that shows that we're selfish in our own hearts. And we put the secular things of life in second place in our priority, and God is on the bottom of the pile. Brother, I'll tell you, we better put God number one. We better make Him preeminent in our heart and set Him up on the throne of our heart, and we better study the Bible ourselves and be students of that Bible, that we might teach them to our children, to the generation that is to come, that they might set their hope in Almighty God. And the things that we're to teach them is His praises. And we're to teach them about His strength. And we're to teach them about His wonderful works. May I say, we ought to teach our children not only diligently, but dogmatically. God, and I mean dogmatically, that's the Bible. That's the Word of God. It's not, children, that this is a book that man wrote. But this is the very Word of God, the plenary, God-breathed, infallible, inerrant Word of God that holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and God has preserved it for you and I today. In the King James Bible, dogmatically teach them that we don't study the Koran, we study the Word of God. Mohammed or Allah is not our God, but Jesus is our God tonight. Oh yeah, and hey, by the way, if they go to a secular school to get secular education, they're going to be taught everything from evolution to humanism, right on down the line to religious get-togethers. They're even teaching them the Koran in some places in California. God help us. I'm telling you, we ought to be dogmatic about what we teach. Don't you ever tell your children, well, this is just a story in the Bible. This is a truth in the Bible. It's a story about Jonah, who was a real person. Jonah really did, boys and girls, spend 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale. Amen to God. And we ought to be dogmatic about our teaching them out of the Word of God. And then I say we ought to teach them daily, diligently, dogmatically, and daily we ought to teach our children the Word of God. Amen. That the generation to come might set their hope in God. Is that not your top priority tonight in life? Is to see your family under the blood of Christ? Shouldn't that be our top priority tonight, is to see our children saved, that the family circle will not be broken in heaven, but that we and our children together can sit down at that table that is spread from side to side with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and sing the praises of God together over on the other side. Amen. For real example, we teach our children by precept, but I won't say this now. We train them by example. Amen. In other words, church, somewhere down the line, you're going to have to live it in front of them. Amen. Don't you think that they're not as dumb as you might think they are. Amen. Children are not nearly as dumb as what we think they are. They can see two sides. They can see one side while we're in the house of God on Sundays and Wednesdays or Tuesdays. They can see the other side of us while we're at home or downtown. I'm going to say they don't have any problem picking out whether we're a hypocrite or whether we're real. And don't you ever expect your children to follow you if you're not real. Son, if you do not have the goods, I'm telling you, that your children will not pay one bit of attention to you, son. You'll be like tinkling. Is it tinkling brass and a sounding cymbal? You won't make any distinct noise, any clarity in their life. You'll not make an impact on them. You'll not influence them in any way. And I'll tell you why. It's just like Brother Doug said, one week in a Church of Christ and another week in a Baptist church. And I'm telling you, playing yo-yo with a child. And finally, thanks be unto God for a grandmother's prayers and a Sunday school teacher. Old Doug was able to be saved by the grace of God. But I could not put a bit of credit in his parents for God saving him. Amen. God, hey, we teach by precept, but we train by example. And train up a child in the way he ought to go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's right. Put that example in front of them. Amen. Bring them to the house of God. Set them on a pew and make them sit there. Don't let them ramble all day and all night and pilfer around while preaching's going on. Set them down and let them listen to the man of God. And teach them that the man of God is somebody in their life. I'm no man to put myself up on a pedestal, but I'm here to tell you better teach your children that that's God's man down at the church house. He's not appointed by men. He is divinely appointed, and he is there by the appointment of Almighty God. And he is the best friend you'll ever have in this world, friend. That's right. That's why I make out over all these children around here. Amen. That's right. And I'm going to keep on making out. I love them. I want them to know that they don't have some little mamby-pamby lace on his drawers. Johnny come lately. What's the word I'm looking for? He can be bought. What is it? A hireling in this pulpit. I want them to know that they got a man that went to an old-fashioned altar one day and was saved by the good grace of God and was later divinely called to preach the oracles of God line upon line and precept upon precept, that souls might be kept out of hell and that our God might be glorified. Praying them by example. Let me ask you, what kind of an example are you setting before your children? Teaching them and training them. He said, don't hide them. Verse number 4, don't hide them. From theirs we will not hide them from their children. Verse number 5, that they should make them known to their children. How are we going to make them known? By living it. By being a reality in our life. Christ is real to me. Heaven is real to me. And my inheritance up there is real to me. A son, you can have my little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I've got an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, and it's reserved in heaven waiting over on the other side for me. Hallelujah. I want my kids to know that heaven is worth dying for. I want them to know that Bible is worth living for. I want them to know the church is worth my time, my talents, and my money. Hallelujah to God. That's right. You ought to let them children know that this church is someplace. It's not someplace, it's the place. Outside the home, this is it, buddy. Somebody said there ain't no place like this place, so this must be the place. Amen, that's right. This is it. Somebody said it don't always get on. Don't always get on at your house either. And I'm going to tell you, don't always get on some of the other churches around there either. That's right, the grass is not too much greener on the other side. Amen, Brother Hall. Hallelujah. Are you training by example? Are you studying the Word of God? Now, I've got some people in the Bible that I'm confident set the right example in front of their children. I want us to look at first at Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 8. And the Bible said they're talking about old Abraham. And the Bible said that he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. How many of you in here, I won't say how many, remember preaching? How many of you remember what Bethel and Ai mean? What's Ai mean? Bethel's the house of God. Brother Jerome was right. What's that mean? I know when I mention it, some of you are going to remember this. A heap of ruins. I'm telling you, it was right there between the house of God and a heap of ruins that Abraham built at him an altar. I want to say that your prayer life, friend, is right between the house of God and a heap of ruins. And if you don't keep a prayer life, I'm going to tell you where you'll wind up. You'll wind up at Ai, in that heap of ruins. But the point I want to make is Abraham built an altar. And it was there that he called upon the name of the Lord. It was there that he prayed. I want to ask you, are you setting that example in front of your children? Have your children heard you pray lately? What about chapter number 13 and verse number 2? The Bible said there, and Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south unto Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. And verse 4, unto the place of the altar of which he had made there at the first. May I say to you, oh, Abraham built an altar and just kept going back to that altar. Amen! He built an altar one time and he went back to the altar the second time. I'm telling you, we might stray as a child of God from prayer, but I'm telling you that prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is our power link to God. It is our power with God, and you'll never be an example to your children until you learn to pray. Have you got an altar? Have you really got an altar? What an example. I know his youngins wasn't around yet, but I don't find any place where he ever laid down on God and quit. He just kept on praying. Kept on going back to that altar. It's like that song said, I keep running back to the well. Well, Abraham kept running back to the altar. I'm telling you, I may get cold every now and then, but it ain't going to be long. I'm going back to that altar, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say this to y'all. I want you to listen carefully. We left here today. I got home last night after prayer meeting. I told my wife, I said, honey, I got to go in here and write some things down. I said, if I don't write some things down, we ain't going to have no preaching in the morning. And I got done preaching this morning. We got in the car and left. I said, boy, I said, thank God, God helped me. And she said, I want to ask you a question. She said, when did you study enough to preach like that this morning? I said, honey, I've got me teach that you don't know nothing of. I said, I might be in that yonder in that closet rearranging that furniture and my mind's a million miles from here. I might be in that closet and they're pulling out junk, rearranging junk, but all the time I'm thinking on a verse of Scripture. All the time I'm putting this verse with that verse and arranging this verse over to that verse. I'm telling you, hey, I can put my body in motion in one way, my brain in motion another way, and just think on God and preparing my mind, ladies and gentlemen, while I'm meditating on God and working at the same time. Somebody said, you're nuts. I'm telling you, I do it. A lot of the time I do it. A whole lot of the time I do it. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Meditate on it. If you'll meditate on Him, you'll pray about Him. Amen. You'll pray to Him. You'll call on His name if you'll learn to meditate. Amen. But I'm going to say, if you run back to the altar, if you got an altar, I hope you got an altar, and I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice something else. Not only Abraham's altar. Don't you think that is a good example to set before your children? That Daddy prayed? We used to play that old song around here. When Mama prayed, heaven paid attention. Has Mama prayed? I'm going to tell you what, buddy. I'll tell you, praying Mama will get a hold of the heart of God. A crying, weeping Mama will get a hold of the heart of God. I'll tell you, a broken-hearted Daddy will get a hold of God. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we better get broken-hearted over our children that are dying and going to hell. Somebody said, mine's predestinated, and they're going to heaven anyway. What if they ain't? If you believe that way, what if they ain't? I don't want to believe that way. I don't intend to believe that way. I want to give my kids hope, buddy. Hallelujah to God. Is anybody listening tonight? Have you got that altar? Praying all, praying Daddy, and praying Mom on an altar. That's a pretty good example. And all I wrote down was the Scriptures, honestly. I'm just putting this out as God lays it on my heart. But what about Genesis 26 and verse number 18? Oh, what a passage of Scripture we got there. And I want you to notice something here. 26 and verse number 18. The Bible said, now Isaac, now this Isaac, the son of Abraham. And the Bible said, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged, what? In the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had named them. Hey, looky here. Old Abraham must have been a well digger. Because the Bible said that Isaac, his son, came back and dug the same wells that his father had digged. Hey, look here. What well are you drinking out of tonight? Are you saddening? Do you come to the house of God and drink from a well that you digged? I'm talking about laboring in the Word of God and digging in the Word of God. Amen, amen, amen. I was down at Brother Ray's preaching the other, sitting there the other day, didn't he? And the preacher got up a preaching, and here's a thought that struck my mind. That every one of us in here ought to be archaeologists. I was reading an article in the paper that said this archaeologist made a great find somewhere over there. Honestly, it said that they found a pillar of salt that they think might be a Lot's wife. Oh, honestly, I read that around the Dead Sea, read it in the Messenger newspaper. Said it might very well be Lot's wife. It was turned into a pillar of salt. I read where a fellow said, over there somewhere found this a great big dinosaur, you know, that was 20 billion years old. I believe there were dinosaurs upon the earth. They wasn't no 20 billion years ago. Not over 6,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. But that archaeologist, hey, they had to dig. Boy, when they dug, when that man found that skeleton, son, I'm telling you, he went into a mad rave over what he had found. I wonder if we got any archaeologists in here tonight. Hey, is there anybody in here tonight that's ever dug in the Word of God like an archaeologist and found a real treasure out of that thing that caused your heart to jubilate in the presence of Almighty God? Are you any archaeologists in here tonight? Let me ask you something. Is there any well diggers in here tonight? Anybody get a drink before you come to church this morning? On Saturday, did you get a drink of the well of grace? Are you drinking from the wells of salvation tonight? Or drinking from a Pepsi bottle in Walmart? I'm going to tell you, set the example of Walmart if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, all your youngins is going to do when they grow up, drag around through Walmart like you do. And they're going to sit on a chair dead like you are. I'm here to tell you, if you'll ever dig like old Abraham dug, your children will grow up to dig like Daddy dug and dig a well they can drink out of like Daddy's drinking out of. Boy, it's getting awful quiet and still in here. I was getting a few amens a while ago, but I ain't getting many now. What about it, Daddy? You dug any wells lately? Here's the thing I want you to see. Abraham dug wells, and Isaac come right along behind him, followed the example and dug wells himself. Got any? Let me ask you this, Daddy. Can you dig it? Or have you dug it? An old fellow down there in Tennessee put out a pocket knife. Said, cold. Can you dig it? Can you dig that well? I'm here to tell you, somebody said, oh, I get mine from the man of God. Man of God ain't got much these days. Amen. I'm telling you, the man of God's well is running a little dry. Really? And I got to try to drink for myself, drink for dig for my family, dig for myself, and dig for you. My digging days is getting weary. Oh, if some of you would dig a well and come in here and we'd all drink from your well next Sunday. Amen. What if we'd all come in here and drink out of your well next Sunday? Hallelujah to God. Woo! I mean, just get up, testify, let the sweat run and pour all over you and testify for about 30 minutes in here. And let old Brother Hall suck up a good snort of holy water. Yeah. I ain't talking about the holy water the Pope puts out either, buddy. We don't sprinkle folk with that water. Amen. Don't have to dig on the inside, ladies and gentlemen. It's like a well of water springing up. Oh, I'm telling you, mine sprung up this morning. You may not be getting a thing, but I'm telling you, she's a springing up again tonight. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, God let me drink again tonight. Bless His wonderful name. Woo! What a God. Glory. Well of living water springing up. I still ain't got over that old black lady up there in the nursing home that day. sitting back there hollering, "Spring up, O well! Spring up, O well!" Tell them, I'm going to tell you, hey, that's right, we need to come, we need to dig. See, we need to dig. And I don't have time to turn there, but I can turn. And they strolled over these wells, but Isaac dug a well a little later and found a well of springing water, son. It was like old faithful that come up out of the ground. I'm here, the story of that is, hey, they might be strife and quarrels with the flesh over the wells that you're trying to dig and drink from today. But I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll keep digging, you will finally hit a well of springing water. And there'll not be no strife over that well. They can't be any strife over that well. Hallelujah. What an example. What an example. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, I don't want my kids to come to church and act like you do." You do. What I think about you. I want them to come to church and act crazier than I do. That's right. Brother Crawford told me a while back that he said Brother Gene called him, wanted him to preach down there on New Year's Eve service. He asked him, said, "Brother Gene, why you want me to preach?" He said, "I don't care what you preach," said, "just get up there and go crazy." Amen, that's right. Just get up there and go crazy. Just preach like a wild man. I know some of you would like to have her a little more dignified and a little more expository preaching in a more dignified and a reverent manner. But I'm not dignified and reverent. I'm a well digger. I got on gum boots tonight. And I got my sleeves rolled up. I'm not wearing a necktie. Bless God, I'm a digging a well because I've got to have water. I read in Jeremiah 14 where their nobles, little ones, went to the pit and found no water. I don't want them to ever come to Island Ford and find no water. I don't want your kids to come here. Some of these boys in here is lost as a June bug. I called their names out last night and asked God to save them. Amen. I'm about ready to start calling their names out in here. Amen. They need a drink, ladies and gentlemen. They need saved by the grace of God. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're too sorry to put an example before, but Brother Hall do the best he can at it. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not here to be dignified. I got my sleeves rolled up. I got my gum boots on. And we don't drill for wells. We dig them. Labor. We ain't got any diamond bits, buddy. We got spades, and we don't deal with a backhoe. You might damage something. You got to dig real with this refined equipment. You got to dig with faith. You got to dig with the Holy Ghost and dig with the Word of God. Are you listening to me? You got to dig with worship. I meant to say this a while ago, but I'm going to tell you, there will never be worship without prayer, and there will never be praying without worship. Amen. Amen. I'll throw that in right there. It's a good place. Amen. I can see y'all. I'm telling you, I'm having fun. Amen. Hallelujah. That well digger. So he set an example with the altar of prayer, set an example of digging wells. And I'm not going to turn there, but I thought of Genesis 22. When Abraham and Isaac, what an example to set before his own son. What an example to set before Isaac. And they took off and headed up Mount Moriah, and little old Isaac said, "Father," said, "here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" And I'm telling you, what an example of faith. What an example of faith when that old man of God said, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." And I'll tell you, God done it. Hallelujah to God. Brought that ram up out of the thicket, didn't he? Just at the right time. What faith. I want to ask you tonight. We set that example before our children tonight. That example of faith. Living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His great love. Now I'm going to tell you what. When they come down, when that little fellow looked over and saw that ram, and Abraham led him up off of that altar, and that ram was sacrificed, I can imagine little Isaac going down the other side of that mountain, and he was saying, "Have I got a story to tell?" Somebody said, what is the story? Isaac, he said, I want to tell you about my father. Woo! Let me tell you about my father that provided himself a lamb. That ought to be our testimony to our children, by the way.
Amen.
When you want your children to have that kind of a testimony.
Amen.
Well, where did you learn that at, Megan? I learned it from Mom and Daddy.
Amen.
Where did you learn that at, Drake? I learned it from Mom and Daddy. They taught me about the Lamb of God without spot and without wrinkle.
Amen.
They taught me about Jesus that came into the world, ladies and gentlemen, without a spot and without a wrinkle, and laid his life down that I might be saved. If you don't tell your kids, I'll beat the absolute snot out of you, high sweetheart. What you've got for coffee? That tooth? No, it's a comb. I thought it was a toothbrush. It might be a gum bumper, but it ain't no toothbrush. There you go. Say, I love Poppy. Talk for us. Hallelujah. I want to set an example. I want to show them the praises of our God. I want to show them the strength of our Lord. I want to show them the wonderful works of God. Are you listening? I'll tell you what I want my grandkids to say if I'm gone, if I leave here before the rapture and leave them behind, I want to be able to say, boy, my poppy. Praise God, you talk about an old-time preaching man. Son, I never seen such a preacher in my life. Son, he let it rip. Amen. Told me about Jesus. Told me there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Are you listening to me in here, you unsaved boys and girls? There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun tonight. Buddy, I'll tell you, I want my youngers to know that hell is real. And the fire there is hot, son. And it's not for a day or for a couple of days or a week or a month. It's all eternity in hell without God if you die lost. I'm telling you. The alternative to what I'm preaching tonight is not a pretty picture at all. Not a pretty picture at all. Hallelujah. Then I thought about, I've got about two more and I'll be done. I thought about Eunice and Lois in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 3, where Brother Paul said, I thank God, whom I served for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee. Being mindful of thy tears, that thy may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, what's he going to be filled with joy about? When he calls to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that is in Timothy, is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. And thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I want everybody to look up for you. You know what that word unfeigned means? Without hypocrisy. He said, oh, I rejoice when I remember the unfeigned faith, that is that unhypocritical faith that is in you. He said, Timothy, he said, I can rejoice because, boy, I know what you got is real. And it's real in one sense because it was real in your mama. And it was real in your grandmama. And they set an example before you, Timothy.
Amen.
Of real divine holy faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 What about that?
If I
was writing the Bible in there, I'd have put Deucey in one of them words.
Amen.
Amen. Deucey and Aggie. I've been talking about. If that'd have been Benny there, I'd said, Benny, I'd have been right, and I said, I rejoice over the unfeigned faith that is in you, son. But before it ever dwelt in you, Benny, it dwelt in Aggie, and it dwelt in Deucey. And I am confident, boy, it's in you also. How many of us tonight is it really in? I'm talking about a faith that is real. The just shall live by faith. And the righteousness of God, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, is revealed from faith to faith. From my faith to their faith, from their faith to the next faith. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, we got a responsibility.
before Almighty God. To live by faith in front of our youngins. That they might live by faith in front of their youngins. That we might teach them the praises of God. That we might teach them the strength of our Lord and His wonderful work that He's done amongst the children of men. And then I thought about these. I thought about old Joshua's dedication. You don't need to turn here either. But in Joshua 25 and verse number 15, Joshua's given that crowd instructions about serving the gods on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites. He said, you're going to have to make up your mind, choose this day whatever God you're going to serve. But he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What dedication. Come hell or high water, we're going to church. And we're going to tithe. I don't care how tough it gets. I don't care how broke I am. I'm going to tithe first with church. And I'm going to be there on days when it's high, on days when it's low, on days when it's good, on days when it's bad, I'm going to be there.
Amen.
I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm dedicated.
Amen.
Have I told you lately I'm a church nut?
Amen.
I like church.
Amen.
I like to come over here.
Amen.
Every now and then on Sunday evenings, I say, Miss Hall, how long going to be before you're ready? Oh, about 2 minutes, and I know two is generally 15. Say, well, I'm just going to walk on over anyway. I've walked over here before on Sunday, not be anybody in here. Just walk around, walk back through the back. Talk to the Lord back there. Thank the Lord for this little old building. Thank the Lord for 16 plus years in that pulpit. Thank the Lord for those of you that's been here and stayed faithful. Praise God, we're doing good and we ain't lost anybody yet. We've got in a new family by default, but at least we got in a family. Hallelujah. How about Brother Crawford? I'm glad they're here.
Yes,
praise God. I think they'd be a great blessing to the church.
Yes,
are you listening? Just walk around in here. I'd just like to come to the house of God.
Yes,
be here. There's just something about it. Somebody said, Brother, aren't you afraid of spooks? Not here. Some of them I've been in there. Not here. I look around at you and I think, praise God, they just keep coming. I'll be honest with you, I don't really understand why. When I look back at some of my past outlines I preached from, I said, Lord, surely I didn't preach that. What did I say? There's nothing there, Lord. And then I say, they just kept coming, though. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stay dedicated, and I want you to stay dedicated. When there's plenty of water to drink and when there ain't but a thimbleful, we can all just kind of get a little taste of it.
Amen.
Be here. When the Spirit's high, when the Spirit's low. When there's trouble in the church and when there's unity in the church.
Amen.
When there's persecution and problem, just keep on coming. Hallelujah. When it's cold and when it's warm.
Amen.
When our hearts are tender and when they're callous, just keep on coming to church.
Amen.
Just be dedicated, setting Amen. That example. Somebody said, oh, mine's already got wayward and went out. What am I going to do? I'll remind you of one thing. There was a prodigal that put his face in the hog pen. Rooted in the slop with the hogs. But there come a time also, buddy, that he came to himself. He couldn't get away from him early days of preaching. You keep these boys and girls in here 8, 10, 12, 15 years, they'll have a hard, hard time getting away from it. They might get out, but I'm telling you, they can't get away. If they ascend into heaven, God's there. If they make their bed in hell, He's there with them. They cannot get away from the Word of God. It's everywhere. God's Word is not bound. It's everywhere. And I'm telling you, once it falls in the heart of a child, it's there. I've heard people tell me, oh yeah, Brother Hall, I'm used to go to church, and I remember a Sunday school teacher one time, or I remember a preacher, well, how long ago has that been? Oh, 10, 12, 15 years ago. But they still remember something that was said.
Amen.
I've got a Bible somewhere back there in that tape room. It's dated December the 24th, 1951. I still remember Dorothy Monroe. Her husband's name was Louis. We all called him Tootie. Don't ask me why.
Rudy Monroe. He was our postmaster.
And I can still remember Mrs. Dorothy Monroe giving me that little Bible on that Christmas Eve day. Little King James Bible, and carrying it out of that church. And sitting in there with them little crayons and coloring them little pictures. The walls of Jericho falling down and crossing the Red Sea. And I mean, it's about the same thing right on down through the ages. But I'm telling them little things stick with a child. And line upon line, precept upon precept. And then they sit in preaching. They begin to pick up on things the preacher says. And the entire book of Acts and 1 Corinthians. All of it. All of it. Word for word. All of it. What are we doing with ours? Then I'm closing with this. I'm not going to read the rest of it and preach. It's 8 o'clock. I'm done. I think of old dear brother Job. What a dear brother he was indeed. And what an example Job set before his children in Job chapter number 1. I'll get over there in just a minute. Job in chapter number 1. And his sons went and feasted in their houses in verse 4. Everyone his day. Somebody said that was their birthday. It might have been. And sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus, Job did continually. Do we do it continually or intermittently? Always or periodically? Consistently or inconsistently? Have we ever tried to get our children to memorize verses in the Bible? My boy talked to some of you all about trying to get in a quiz program to teach your children the Bible. And there ain't even enough interest in our parents to get there, to even make an effort to get their kids to learn Scripture. Talk to some of you about going to youth camp. And some of you just bowed up like big bullfrogs. Well, I can't afford it and I can't do this. We may not be able to afford it, ladies and gentlemen. But there's a difference between can't afford it and can't wanting to really do it bad and can't afford it.
Amen.
Putting a foot forward to try to do something for our children.
Amen.
Before it is too late.
Amen.
Train them up in the way they should go and when they're not teach them up. Train them up.
Amen.
Hooking truth to truth to truth. That's a train, by the way. A train is a car hooked to another car to another car to another car to another car. And training up a child is truth to truth to truth to truth.
Amen.
Making a train of truths together. And when they're old, they will not depart from the truth. Let's stand.